The Placing You First podcast begins in less than 20 seconds.
Visit crcgroup.com to subscribe, download our award-winning tools and intel articles that help you stay aware of emerging issues and trends, or get a snapshot of the insurance marketplace with our industry-leading Ready Indexes. You'll find it all on crcgroup.com under Tools and Intel.
Biometric insurance risk. What exactly are biometrics, right? It's like your fingerprint, it's the face ID thing on your phone. It's an emerging technology. Today we talk with two CRC Group specialists who are very familiar with biometrics and the risks involved in it. And let me tell you, it's pretty high risk.
This is the Placing You First podcast. I'm Dan Wentz, and this podcast features news and insights from CRC's vast knowledge base of 2,000 plus associates who write in excess of $8 billion in premium annually. And we're giving you insider access to what's happening in our company and the types of insurance we place.
This is the Placing You First podcast.
Joined today by Mark Waldeck, who is the office president for CRC Group in Chicago, and Sebastian Swain, who is a director with CRC's Los Angeles office and an active member of the Exec Pro Practice Advisory Group here, which is our national network of brokers who deal with risks like we're going to talk about today. So Mark and Sebastian, we're talking biometric data risks here. And Mark, let's start with you. Can you describe what biometric data risks are and what all it encompasses?
Yeah, it's a long-winded answer. So I'll start at the beginning and then get to where we are today. We've had different types of markers, biometric markers around for quite a while, be it a thumbprint, then we advanced to retinal scans. Now we have facial recognition, even voice imprints. So all those things are evolving every day. And where it really first began as far as the regulatory side was back in 08, the plaintiff's bar in Illinois, of all places, why I don't know, but the plaintiff's bar here decided to enact legislation that would protect biometric info. And as a result, I believe this law was created with no idea where it would take us, with the hope one day it might be a windfall for the plaintiff's attorneys. And here we are. And that's why we're having a webinar today about it.
Yeah. And Sebastian, do existing policies cover this? Do they respond to claims alleging violation of biometric data? Is this something that is already in insurance policies, or is this something you should go hunt down specifically?
Short answer, yes and no. As with all insurance policies, it really depends on the circumstances surrounding that particular claim. But for the most part, you'll be finding coverage in one of three different policy forms. It could be in a D&O policy, it could be in an EPL policy, or it could be in a cyber policy. Coverage on a cyber policy is really going to relate to whether or not it's a violation of somebody's privacy. Then you could have regulatory claims, that type of thing, or of a breach of that person's data that can create liability for somebody. If it's shareholders bringing a claim, then it's something you'd be worried about on a D&O policy form. Potentially, if it's employees' data that's been stolen or misused or abused, then you'd be looking at a potential EPL policy claim. So it really just depends on the circumstances surrounding the matter.
Yeah, so when you say it depends on the policy. I guess a good practice would be if there's, you know, an insurance buyer that's listening to this podcast right now, talk to your agent about it and really look at your policies and see if this is in there, right? Is that right, Mark?
Yeah, I'd agree. I would also take it one step further. And I would also encourage people to look at what types of data are they storing, because that then creates the rules and the bar that you have to live up to, that regulation. So the more sensitive the data that you're touching, holding, and warehousing, the higher the liability you likely possess.
And this is kind of the cutting edge of cyber insurance, right? Because this is like face scans and fingerprints. And I mean, I don't think we've really imagined what the risk, you know, like the extent of the risk is to this point, right? Because if that data gets hacked or breached or sent out, people could use that in so many different ways.
And beyond that, it's things that a person, an individual can't change. So you can't go change your thumbprints, right? You're probably going to be pretty difficult to change your voice pattern, things of that nature. These biometric identifiers are that are in your biology for the most part. So it's much worse for anybody collecting this data from a liability perspective, because due to change those things, they can change a password, but you can't change a retinal scan. You can't change a thumbprint. So it's almost the equivalent of trying to go get a new social security number. The arduous process would be to somehow get this fixed. It's going to create a ton of costs for companies.
Is there an exposure resulting from privacy laws? And how common are these laws across the United States right now?
Yeah, there's about seven different states right now today that have privacy laws addressing biometric info right now. All the states address different forms of data privacy. And remember, you've got both physical records as well as digital records. But at the end of the day, this is really a state's rights area of enforcement that could change at some point to federal, but we're not there yet. So I think there's probably a lot more to develop on the regulatory front that we've yet to see. And I think if we were to fast forward 18 months from now, it wouldn't shock me to see some type of federal rules that become more commonplace.
And Sebastian, how are carriers reacting to this? I mean, obviously, this is a kind of a new emerging risk. What are their views on it right now, and what are they doing?
So the D&O marketplace, you're starting to see more and more biometric exclusions on those policies, or potentially a supplement for employee privacy violations. And on the cyber side, generally, this is a coverage that's starting to be affirmatively offered. So they're building it into that regulatory coverage. There might be, you know, fewer markets that are willing to quote certain types of risks that are collecting that information in, say, the state of Illinois. But I think, generally speaking, this coverage is being afforded on the cyber side. It is generally starting to be excluded on the D&O and EPL side.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I don't see that momentum changing. I think you're only going to see more and more.
Let's talk about insureds a little bit. How can insureds best mitigate this risk?
In many ways, this is a lot like a social engineering discussion where we're trying to figure out what laws apply, where's my coverage hiding, and now what can I do to prevent it from ever happening? And so we're having the exact same set of questions that we're trying to address here. And in order to prevent it from happening, I really think the first step is really going to be working with your own general counsel or someone on the outside representing your insured, making sure that any vendors that you're touching and hiring that in turn pass along data, house data, and or pass through, let's say, to a cloud where it may be stored. We need to make sure that that liability is being properly assessed to the other vendors along the way. We shouldn't be the sole individual holding the liability at the end of the day. We also want to try and tie in our controls and procedures with how the policy reads. So using social engineering is another good example, or let's say wire transfer exposures. There's usually specific wording in some of these policies when you do find coverage that says how you must protect not only the data, but also to disclose to those individuals that you're warehousing their biometric info. So you can see how it all kind of comes together, but it's really going to start with the general counsel.
I agree with everything Mark just said. I think kind of at a base, though, it really comes down to whether or not it's worth it for a company to be collecting this data in the first place. You know, consulting with outside counsel, you know, determining if it really is in the interest of the business to be using that as opposed to some stricter form of passwords. You know, at the end of the day, how much benefit is a company getting by collecting biometrics versus going a traditional path? And, you know, the potential liabilities surrounding the collection of that data. You know, you can have the best security software, best policies and procedures surrounding that, and yet hacks still happen. So ultimately, you know, the liability from that type of data loss is going to be worse, I think, than, you know, your traditional PII, PHI. Just because, again, you know, the consumer can't change their thumbprint.
Yeah, I'd agree with all that. And I would say I'd go one step further and say that this information in many ways is almost toxic. If you touch it, it's a good chance it's going to harm you one day. We just can't say when. So if you're going to embrace this data, you better be ready to treat it with the proper level of care, because the law is not going to be forgiving when it comes to knocking on your door. I only see that getting tougher and more difficult for our insureds to manage, not easier, because the law is now beginning to catch up with all the breaches that are happening. And remember, I'll use the Illinois legislation. If you fail to notify those individuals that you collect and store their data, their biometric data, that is a violation right there. You didn't tell them annually. There doesn't need to be a breach for there to be liability assessed against your company. So I think there's a lot of people out there that are involved in this space, touching this data, and they have no idea how volatile it can be.
Yeah. And the BIPA legislation as well allows for private right of action, similar to the CCPA legislation. So a consumer doesn't even have to prove harm. They just have to prove that the company violated the terms of the legislation. So that in and of itself creates a massive amount of liability, especially because if you are collecting this type of data, it's most likely on a larger scale. And so now you're looking at class action suits.
Wow. So that leads us to our next question is what conversations should retail agents be having with their insurers about all of this? I would assume that it's pretty important for them to figure out that this risk exists in an organization and guide their buyers appropriately.
I'd agree. And I think it's, again, you're dealing with 50 different states, 50 different sets of rules. There are no caps on a liability. This isn't like having a medical professional exposure in certain states where it's highly legislated what those caps might be. This is the Wild West, so the plaintiff's bar knows it, and I think they're going to continue to harness this as a strong revenue engine for their firm. So it's only going to get tougher.
Well, for retail agents that have companies that are doing business across state borders as well, if they're subject to the laws in Illinois or California, the rest of their data, it would be too much of a cost burden to protect at different levels. So basically you're talking about an insured having to sort of upgrade their security and their policies and procedures for all of their data so that they can abide with the strictest legislation that's out there. So, and I would also say that generally speaking, other states will probably look to see what, you know, Illinois and California and New York have done and somewhat mirror that legislation. So it's only going to get states that maybe have somewhat watered down rules. It will probably get stricter, and other states that don't have any are more likely to adopt the stricter legislation from the get-go.
Basically the highest common denominator, look at the worst case scenario for your business and approach it from that direction is what you guys are saying, basically. So have that conversation with your agent, with your insureds, and, you know, figure out what the, you know, what type of exposure you have and how bad it could potentially be. Let's talk a little bit about how CRC Group can help at this point. It's an emerging risk. How does working with a CRC Group broker benefit the agents right now when they're trying to place this insurance or figure it out? Mark, let's start with you on this one.
Well, there's not a lot of good insurance solutions for everything we're talking about today. So this is kind of an unusual podcast. Normally, as brokers, we have lots of different options and policies that we can touch and hopefully trigger to protect our insureds. A big part of this conversation is going to be more risk mitigation and risk management. So following on Sebastian's comments, you want to lift your standards to what I'd call the highest bar or highest level that's required in the U.S. currently. You need to document that you're doing those things. I think we're going to continue to see our policies encroached upon when it comes to finding coverage. And as a result, I don't see that getting better. The cyber market has really it's begun to harden probably in the last 6 weeks, at least for me. And as a result, I still feel that the best thing we can do as brokers at CRC is to help our insureds identify, hey, the data and the information that you're touching is really difficult. And as a result, the minute you embrace that, you take on unlimited liability. with little to no insurance protection in today's market. So we better make darn sure that we're doing everything we can from a legal perspective to protect ourselves.
It really is needs to be driven from a risk management approach inside the organization, because depending on the type of, you know, D&O is probably not going to give you that coverage. And if you're a larger organization and your shareholders are bringing a suit against the company on behalf of the company, you know, for a class action suit that's, you know, alleging the company did things it wasn't aware of, you know, mismanaged, et cetera, you know, didn't implement proper security, they can't insure that. So it's not going to be a good look for them.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and just as a reminder, remember, a data breach does not necessarily, or rather the lack of a data breach does not necessarily trigger these policies. So that's where the insureds, I think, are going to get confused and frustrated. Okay, I have this liability related to this biometric data, but there's not been a breach. I just didn't properly notify people. And as a result, individuals out on the street can bring actions against me. And that's where I think our insureds are going to be surprised to hear that. We just need to keep repeating the message.
Yeah. A very common exclusion in cyber policies is for wrongful collection of data. Really comes down to figuring out, you know, what the laws are in your state or wherever you're doing business and making sure that you are abiding by those to drastically reduce your potential exposure. Because if you are following the letter of the law, you're doing as much as possible to protect that data. You know, that is going to go a long way with the courts. Ultimately, still, you could still be very much punished for it. But
yeah, absolutely. So be careful and talk to your lawyer first before starting to collect this stuff. That's for sure. Okay, well, great message from you guys. I appreciate the insight about biometrics. And of course, we have more articles about this online at crcgroup.com. You can go there. You can search out Mark and Sebastian there if you want to and find out more information about them and get in contact with them. Of course, Mark's in CRC Chicago, the office president up there, and Sebastian's out in Los Angeles. So, and also you can read about our Exec Pro practice group, which it's a lot more than just Sebastian and Mark. We've got a lot of brokers and producers that are involved in that, and they all share information and help us to basically figure out these risks, right? To figure out the best approach to this and the carriers that are providing the best solutions so that, you know, we benefit you as greatly as possible. Go get some more information. Mark and Sebastian, we appreciate you being on the podcast today. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Are you ready to take your career to the next level?
Join Team CRC to gain access to best-in-class tools, data, exclusive programs, and more. Send your resume to resumes@crcgroup.com and read testimonials from our recent hires on LinkedIn. Search for CRC.